T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Actually, it's just half the Junkies, and we're not on NBC Sports Washington. That was just habit.
No.
It's JP
and Bish. You're just used to looking
Saturday
at each other
morning,
on Zoom.
And, yeah, I just came in. And
it's all good.
Old
man.
Habits die.
It's all good.
It is a Saturday morning edition, though. It's Bish and JP. I believe EB is going to be joined by Chad Dukes at noon.
Noon to three for those boys.
And then Cakes is going to be on tomorrow with Funny Danny.
Correct.
We're on this final hour of the show, and joining us right now is Mike Glennon, quarterback now with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mike, what's going on?
What's up, bro?
How's it going, guys? Thanks for having me on. Saturday mornings.
I know, man. It's a little
called
different,
overtime.
Man. It's called pandemic.
What's it like for you? You move all the time.
All right.
I know. I've just gotten used to it. It's like we put ourselves in a pod, and it just stays in the city. Wherever we were, and then we ship it to the next place.
Mm-hmm.
We've gotten good at moving, gotten good at finding short-term rentals, and it's just kind of part of what we've been doing the past couple of years. So, but it's kind of fun. I mean, you get to live in different places, move around. I've moved all over, starting in Tampa up to Chicago, get to the West a little bit in Arizona, then go to the Bay Area and Oakland, and now back to Florida. So it's cool seeing different parts of the country and kind of experiencing the different lifestyles.
All right, so you make your full-time home in the Raleigh area. I know you're building a big fat mansion down there. But I want to ask you, out of all of those places, where did you enjoy the most? I mean, Tampa, cool city. Chicago, cool city. Phoenix, pretty cool out there. What do you think?
Yeah. I personally think I like Chicago. I mean, I didn't have a great experience with football-wise, but I loved it there. It was we lived in this town called Winnetka, which is, 30, 45 minutes north of the city. And we actually lived like not under a mile from the Home Alone house.
Oh, wow.
So it was it was just a great place to kind of have a family. And you're right near Lake Michigan. And then you take the train down into the city, and they got phenomenal restaurants and all that. Tampa was great, too. I mean, Tampa probably felt like the most home because I was there for 4 years. But that's just different, smaller town. You're right near the water, hot, all that stuff. I'd probably say Chicago and Tampa were my two favorites.
Now, I assume you bought a house in Tampa because you knew you were going to be there for, at least three, four years. You didn't. Really.
I actually rented. I mean, because I was still a rookie and, at the time, you never know. I bought it in Chicago, which wasn't the best decision, but was able to sell there.
Yeah, but you could afford it. You could afford it after that.
I know. So I just rented after that, and it's just kind of become our new lifestyle.
So the house that you're in now, I know you're having a house
Jason's
built.
Jason's all into your real estate.
Yeah, I love it. Well, I told him, and I want to talk to him about this because I want to live in that area. But the house that you're in now, while you're waiting for your house to be built, do you own that house, or are you renting that house in Raleigh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so we bought a house here a couple of years ago, and lived here in the off season, and then we have a nice house that's being built right now, so it'll be nice when that's done. But you need to come down to Raleigh. It's a great place to live.
Hey man, we'll golf and we'll tee it up with your brother. Absolutely.
I know.
All right, so
is Mike a good golfer? Are you a good golfer?
I'm okay. I'm getting better. I'm just inconsistent. My handicap's around a 12 right now, so I can you know, go out there and keep up, but I'm not shooting really low. I just too much inconsistency and all that, but I enjoy it.
Are you a member of a club down there?
I am. It's called Old Chatham.
Oh, okay.
It's a nice club. It's a golf-only club. It's not even a country club, but it's in between kind of Raleigh, Chapel Hill, and Duke. So they kind of made it so people from all three, kind of Durham, Chapel Hill, and Raleigh could get to.
Right, right.
And
well, are you going to play this weekend? I think, isn't your brother down there this
weekend?
So
he's down here now, and we'll go hang out at my parents' house by the pool. And then later on today, I'm going down to the beach, Riceville Beach, which another good reason to move down to Raleigh, only 2 hours from the beach.
Correct. Yep.
All right. So Mike, I wanted to get your opinion, since you did mention your favorite season was with the Bears, at least in terms of living conditions, but you only there for 1 year. That's the year they drafted Mitch Trubisky, right? What was he like?
Mitch is a good dude. He's fun to be around. I really enjoyed being with him. That was really one of my favorite quarterback rooms. We had Mark Sanchez, me, and Mitch. And Mark is he's a lot of fun. He's one of the most charismatic guys I've ever been around. So we had a real good time in the meeting rooms every day. And like I said, the living was great. I had a great time that year outside of the actual experience I had playing, but everything else, I really enjoyed my time in Chicago.
Who was your QB coach? I kind of wanted to go through this with you, maybe a little fun, because I've seen video of, you know, when you were with Oakland, Gruden yelling at you. That wasn't exclusive. He yelled at everybody. Who was, like, the hardest-ass coach you had, like quarterback coach or offense coordinator? Who was kind of the most fun? Because you've now been with five teams.
I mean, that would be Gruden, John Gruden. Yeah, I mean, he was intense. He'd get after you, but, man, we had a blast in the meetings, too. He is one funny guy. I mean, it was just every day. You never knew what was coming out of his mouth. And, so he was hilarious, but when you got on the field, he was intense. So that your question summed up exactly what John Gruden is. He's a lot of fun in the meeting rooms, but he's not afraid to lay into you out on the field.
Right. Now, with Oakland, with them bringing in, obviously they had Carr there, but now they bring in Mariota. What do you think the thinking is behind that? Is that going to be like an open competition, or is that strictly Mariota is just a faster, more advanced version of a backup quarterback? Or do they think maybe Mariota has a shot at starting out there? What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I know what I think of Derek Carr. I think he's a stud. I mean, I was around a guy every day at practice, and he's the best quarterback I've been around since I've been in the league. He's deadly accurate. He's great in the locker room. The guys love him. I think he's a true franchise quarterback. So if I'm the Raiders, I feel very comfortable with Derek Carr being my quarterback. So,
All right. So you joined Jacksonville. Give us like the thought process behind picking them. You know, you got Jay Gruden down there now. How familiar are you with him? And then what were the conversations with the offensive staff? Were there other teams that you were looking at? So kind of give me the timeline on that and before you signed with Jacksonville.
Yeah, I mean, I think this year was kind of an interesting year because of everything going on with the pandemic, and that I don't think teams felt a huge rush. So, I mean, I was sitting around. There was kind of that first wave of free agency, and then there was nothing. So, I mean, there wasn't a ton to choose from, but it was a good landing spot for me. I think Jay, he has some similarities in his offense to John, which is helpful for me. This will be my seventh offense in 8 years, so it's nice to have some continuity.
Wow.
I think, you know, just Jay's, being familiar with that offense is helpful, but and I think, you know, Gardner Minshew did a real good job last year as a rookie. So I'm just excited get to football again and, actually meet these guys. We've had these virtual meetings where it's the quarterback coach, Ben McAdoo, Jay's on them, and then the quarterbacks. But outside of that, you're not really getting to meet any of the other guys. So
right.
It'll be interesting.
Have you even met Minshew yet?
Just through Zoom calls, yeah.
Right.
And, Mike, I talked to him on the phone a little, but
yeah, that's cool.
That's it.
Joined by Mike Glennon, NFL QB, now with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and his career has 36 touchdowns, 20 picks. I want to do a little rapid fire thing with you here, Mike. So you've been on the Bucs, the Bears, the Cards, the Raiders, and now you're a member of the Jags. Who's your craziest teammate during your years?
Ooh, craziest.
Putting them on the spot here.
Question. I mean, there's different kinds of crazy.
Just who comes to mind? What's your blink?
Yeah, just a crazy, big personality.
Big personality. I mean, I've been around some big personalities, but I guess you could Jameis Winston, Antonio Brown.
Wow.
Who else?
That's right. Forgot about Brown.
Antonio Brown's got to be number one. All right. Who
was
the?
We were just talking about Brown. But did you hear that Seattle might be interested in him? That's.
I did. I saw that.
Yeah.
Who was the biggest physical freak? Like, you just saw their body coming out of the shower or something like that, and they're just ridiculous.
I'd say Trent Brown. He's the right tackle for the Raiders. He's literally like a monster. I don't know what he is. Probably 6'7", 6'8", 375.
Jesus.
And one of the first guys I've seen, you know, just toss guys around in the NFL. You just don't really see that very often, and he can do it.
All right, how about so Antonio Brown, probably the most accomplished receiver that you've thrown to.
Richie Incognito would be up there, too, for the biggest freaks.
And craziest.
What about the most underrated receiver that you threw the ball to?
Whew, underrated. I just think from a league standpoint, he might be a little underrated still. He's still considered top, but it is Mike Evans. Mike is really good. It's just, I don't think, you know, being in Tampa, he hasn't had that market to really show it. But I think this year with Brady and being on TV all the time, people will see how good he is.
All right, you mentioned Sanchez had a big personality. Who do you think was the smartest quarterback, like, that you learned from?
Smartest? Dan Orlovsky. I was with Dan my rookie year in Tampa. And as you see with him on ESPN, he's really bright. He helped me a ton. I mean, I was just a rookie, so I had kind of the most to learn. But I feel like out of all the players I played with, I learned more from Dan than anyone else.
How about best arm, excluding yourself?
Best arm would be Derek Carr. And then Josh Rosen can spin it. Josh can spin it. Sam Bradford could spin it. Sam was just deadly accurate. Josh had a strong arm, and I'd say Derek has best of both worlds.
What's Rosen like off the field?
I liked him. I mean, he has kind of this reputation of being a know-it-all, but he wasn't that. I mean, he had a little bit in that. He's just super intuitive. He's very bright, and he kind of wants to know, like, the why of everything, which I don't think is a bad thing, where it could rub people the wrong way. But he just is always asking questions. And I guess at times it could come off as being, you know, a smart aleck, but he really is just he's very smart and wants to know all the answers to everything.
Right, right. So I was going to ask you before we let you go, what are you doing daily? Like, are you getting your own workouts in? Who are you throwing to? Where are you throwing?
Yeah. Luckily, I bought in some gym equipment, so I have it in my house right now, just kind of dumbbells and some kettlebells and things like that where I can do it. And I've just been running, like, local parks, local fields. I've been throwing with some guys that live in the area. I throw with some NC State receivers. I throw with Nyheim Hines, who plays running back. He's a running back for the Colts.
Yep.
He went to NC State. And then actually I've been throwing recently with former Redskin Jameson Crowder. He went to Duke, and he lives in Raleigh.
Oh, cool.
So we've gotten together and thrown some.
So what are you doing, a couple times a week or three times a week?
Yeah, just a couple times a week. I mean, there's only so much you can do.
Right, right.
Throwing with a handful of guys that aren't your teammates. So.
All right, so if my wife and I want to come down there and look at houses, am I looking like Raleigh, like in town, or am I looking at Cary? I've heard a lot of good things about Cary.
What are you looking for?
Yeah.
Just remember, he's in a different income bracket than you, Jason.
No, I understand that, but I told him what my budget was, so he knows.
Yeah, I think that Sean said that you like playing golf.
Yep.
So I would recommend kind of that Cary Apex area like we talked about, McGregor Downs, Prestonwood. Prestonwood has three courses. It won't be too far from UNC, Duke, NC State. You can get down to Pinehurst in an hour, get to the beach in 2 hours. So that's the – and if you want to be a little closer to everything, you know, you can look in Raleigh. You'll just have to drive a little bit to go play golf.
I got you. Well, I can't wait to see the house, your house.
Since you mentioned your NC State days, as we're talking to Mike Glennon, you did play with Russell Wilson there for 2 years. Was he like a god on campus then? What was it like?
So I was with Russ. How long? I was with Russ 3 years.
3 years.
He wasn't appreciated. I guess from a national standpoint, until he went to Wisconsin. I mean, he was doing the same things at NC State that he's doing now in the NFL. He just, you know, didn't have the national recognition. But, I mean, he was a big deal on campus without a doubt. But I don't know if I would say he's a god, where if he came back now, he would be. I mean, him and Phillip Rivers are probably the two biggest NC State alums that, you know, NC State fans love.
For football.
Yeah. Yeah, for football, right.
For football, but all the Chapel Hill people, everyone else wants to say he didn't go to NC State. He went to Wisconsin, which is 100% false. I sat on the bench for 3 years because he went to NC State.
Exactly. Oh, that's funny. All right, man. Well, what time are you heading to Wrightsville?
Later on this afternoon. Later tonight.
All right, cool. All right, safe travels. Have a good time down there. Appreciate the time. Appreciate the help. Good luck to everything in Jacksonville. Hopefully we'll get this all straightened out soon, bro.
Yeah, all right. Thank you.
All right, man. Mike Glennon, backup quarterback for the Jacksonville Jags. Good dude.
When he gets a chance, he's actually a pretty good quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I guess he's used to being a backup because, like he said, at NC State, he's Russell Wilson's backup there for 3 years, and then mm-hmm. – You know, I guess for 2 years, he really had a chance to play. You look at the numbers that Glennon put up at NC State as a junior, 31 touchdowns, 12 picks, quarterback rating 136, followed by 31 touchdowns, 17 picks, quarterback rating 131. Then, of course, he goes to the Bucs. And when he's had a chance in the NFL, you know, his quarterback, his touchdown interception ratio is pretty good. His quarterback rating's 84.3. It's not horrible. So he's a good backup quarterback, and when he has a chance to actually play, he can put up some numbers.
Correct. And like you mentioned, the numbers he put up in the 2 years he started NC State, he threw 60-plus touchdowns in 2 years. That's why he was a third-round pick. Plus, he's big, and he's got the big arm. But I'm sure he'll tell you, look, he'd love to start and earn that big contract, but if you can sit as a backup quarterback for 10-plus years, you can make, you know, $30 million since he did have that big contract in Chicago. But – maybe he can beat out Minshew.
We just don't know. At least so far in his career. So he goes to Tampa, and his rookie year, he had 19 touchdowns, 9 picks. Mm-hmm. Solid rookie season, right?
Yep.
Played in 13 games. And then, you know, eventually they draft Jameis Winston, goes to Chicago, they draft Mitch Trubisky. It's like he's always going places where they're drafting guys who are going to be the quarterback of the future.
Yep. And then, but he was good enough to sign that big deal, 3-year, $45 million deal with the Bears. Now, I think he got about $20 million guaranteed, so he stocked $20 million in the bank, living off that, and then if he can just tack on and add a million or two a year for the next five or six, he'll be set. But he'll probably have an opportunity to start this year, to be honest with you. I mean, Minshew could get hurt, right? Or he could suck. You just never know. I would predict that Glennon will start a little bit here in Jacksonville.
All right, let's open up the phone lines. Phone number is 800-636-1067. It's Bish and JP from the Junkies. Come to you live this Saturday morning on The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. It's Bish and JP from the Junkies. Come to you live this Saturday morning. We'll pass the baton to Chad Dukes and EB at noon as they take over. Mm-hmm. Before that, we got a couple of your boys joining us, right?
Before that, yeah, we're going to have Brendan Hanley and Doug Poindexter. Played Laxett, Maryland back in the mid to late 80s. They were complete studs. So we're going to go down memory lane with those guys in about 1140-ish.
All right, so before we do that, I just stumbled onto this article. I think it's from SB Nation or Hogs Haven. And the headline grabbed my attention, and it was, "Is it true that the Redskins haven't given Dwayne Haskins enough weapons? Mm-hmm. The national narrative versus local wisdom." And if you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. So Greg Rosenthal is an NFL writer, and he published an article talking about all of the NFC East teams. And when he broke down the Redskins, he says, Dwayne Haskins is not set up for success, to put it mildly. Mm-hmm. The new offensive coaching staff led by Scott Turner has more ties to backup Kyle Allen. The receiver group may be the youngest in football, and there's not a strength elsewhere for Haskins to lean on. The mm-hmm. wideout crew is quietly frisky, but it would look a lot friskier with Amari Cooper, who, of course, they didn't land. So he goes into that. Pro Football Focus then kind of piled on and kind of says the same thing, that outside of Terry McLaurin, who was awesome last year, they've got Kelvin Harmon, Steven Sims, and, of course, they drafted Antonio Gandy-Golden and Antonio Gibson. So the question is, do you think the Redskins have surrounded Dwayne Haskins with enough talent?
Well, your daughter doesn't think so.
No, she doesn't.
Well, look, that's been the talk, certainly on our show, for the last few weeks, or since, you know, since the draft and since free agency. We looked at a couple of receivers that were available, and Robbie Anderson was one from the Jets, even though he's got some off-the-field issues, but he can fly. But when you look at the starting receivers right now, it would be McLaurin, probably Kelvin Harmon, maybe it would be Steven Sims. We'll see what happens with Latimer. But then you draft Gandy-Golden, and you draft Antonio Gibson. You've got a lot of young, inexperienced guys. They don't really have a tight end to speak of.
Right, but one thing that the article points out, like if you want to go on the positive side, again, if you want to chime in, 800-636-1067, is Scott Turner in Carolina. Now, he was working with the freak, mm-hmm. uses the running backs very effectively in terms of receiving right. out of the backfield. Obviously, Christian McCaffrey is unbelievable at it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying there's anybody on the Redskins who's comparable, but if they don't have a tight end and outside of McLaurin don't have a top-tier receiver, they may be using more screen passes and passes to the backs coming out of the backfield than we've seen the last couple of years.
Correct. So maybe we do, and maybe their offense will be better than it looks on paper, but I just have questions. McLaurin's a stud. We know that. Maybe Harmon gets better. Maybe the Gandy-Golden kid's legit, but they just don't have that veteran guy. They don't have that true number one. Now, McLaurin will be their number one, but they still don't have a true number one in my eyes, and we just have no idea about Haskins in the development. So I would say in a new system, in a shortened offseason. So I can see why I can see why people would say that.
Yeah, let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. I want to know if you think that the Redskins have surrounded Haskins with enough talent to make him successful. Let's go to Tim in D.C. Tim, you're on with JP and Biz from the Junkies. What's up?
Hey, guys. So glad to have y'all on this this holiday weekend, man. This is great, great entertainment. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, bro.
Hey, and look, man, I want you guys to know, you guys are real humble about how big of a deal you are. I listen to a lot of talk radio, and I was listening to the guy's name. I forget it right now, but he's on the show called The Rap on 82 Mad Dog Radio. And he had Feinstein on a couple weeks ago on a Friday night, and they were talking about he was talking about how he listened to you guys growing up. I guess you lived in the area, but you guys are certainly a bigger deal than you give yourselves credit for nationally. And so always enjoy the show and appreciate it. Quick fun fact about you guys know about the Mike Lennon. Had him on today. I always liked this guy. I'm from the Carolinas and remember him in NC State. But he got a start there, and he talked about Russell Wilson being there 3 years, but he got it because of the coach Tom O'Brien basically making Russell choose between football and
right.
baseball. And
right.
That's the history from there. Thought he got the raw deal in Chicago. He's always been a class act. Glennon has, and hope he can get another chance somewhere to be a starter and carry a team for a bit. But guys, Haskins, I don't see him working with Rivera at all. Like this is from the Carolinas area. Rivera is an alpha among alphas, and he likes guys that are dogs. And passing is just too cool for school, man. I see the thing lasting maybe 6 to 8 games, and they go with the kid they brought in from Carolina. He just talented guy, but I don't think he just walks in and grabs the locker room and takes the team and by the horn. So I don't see this working out at all.
I mean, that it's possible. One thing we talked about, though, are reports of Haskins really working out hard in the offseason, which maybe changes your opinion on the whole too cool for school deal, where I guess he's lost 7% body fat. He's lost some weight. He's out working hard. He's doing what he can do. And I think a big part of the knock on Dwayne Haskins is that he wasn't a hard worker, right? You heard a lot of whispers that, you know, he wasn't necessarily showing up to the park super early. But eventually you started to hear a different narrative that he was getting it and he was getting to the park earlier. He was working hard behind the scenes. It's a weird offseason because they can't do much. You just heard Mike Glennon talk about what he's been doing. He finds a couple guys to throw the ball to, and he, you know, goes for jogs. But there's not much you can do. You can't go into team facilities. And it sure seems to me like Haskins, at least this offseason, seems to be working hard. And he's got a chip on his shoulder. You know, there's been some social media thing. Like, I think he hears everything, and he wants to prove everybody wrong.
Well, you're right. I mean, if we assume that he's going to mature, certainly as a player. But off the field, he needs to do that. I would think that the writing's on the wall for him. It's a new system. It's a new coach. He knows he's not the guy that drafted him. So, but again, the guys who get hurt with this pandemic and the shortened offseason are the young quarterbacks. And then you throw in the fact that they don't have experienced veteran guys to throw to. That also hurts them. So maybe Rivera and Turner make him a better player. Let's hope so. But
well,
we just
don't
know.
I think this is what Haskins has. Look, he's got a really good number one in Terry McLaurin. At number two, it's probably going to be Kelvin Harmon because Harmon caught, I want to say, 30 balls last year as a rookie. We saw Steven Sims in the slot. He seemed to be better than Trey Quinn, so I think that's going to be your top three. They brought in Cody Latimer. I would imagine that he's going to be cut based on these legal issues. But maybe they keep him around. He's a depth guy. But like I said, man, it's going to come down to those guys they drafted.
Yeah.
Are those guys going to be impactful as rookies? Gandy, Golden, and Gibson.
Well, then what about the running back situation? What about Geis and his health? What about Bryce Love? What about Peterson? What about Peyton Barber, who they brought in from Tampa? I mean, they just have a lot of question marks there. And they haven't been able to see all those guys on the field because there weren't any OTAs.
Right, but the biggest question mark, it always is the quarterback.
It's the quarterback, of course.
All right, let's go to line three. John is in Fairfax. John, you're on with JP and Bish from the Junkies this Saturday morning. What's up?
Hey guys, this is kind of a Redskins and a sports book question, which I know, Jason, you like. I think the current number on the Redskins is, what is it, 5 or 5.5?
I have 5.5 on my book, yeah.
I just wonder if you guys realize what that number means. Do you guys think that's the number that the book thinks the Redskins are going to win about 5 or 6 games? Do you think that's what that represents?
Yeah, they set that number there because they want to get action on both ends, right?
That's what I mean. It really doesn't mean they think they're going to win 5 games or 6 games. They mean that's the number that they're hoping to get 50% on the up and 50% on the down. And if they can keep that line at -110 on both sides, it's a guaranteed 10% profit no matter what happens.
Right.
And then, of course, when you see lines go up to -165 and +220, it just means the money's moving to the -165. Yep. They got to prop the other side up to get people to bet on that side, again, to try to balance out that 50%. They're not gamblers in Vegas. I know some of these guys. They're managers of money.
Right.
It's going from their hands to another hands, and they want to take their guaranteed 10% as that money is walking by. I think the only time they get caught is if you have some guy who comes up for, let's say, the U.S. Open, and he's like a 40th ranked golfer, and he's got like 30 or 40 to 1 odds to win, and the guy plops down 50 grand. They're either going to take it or not. They may be gambling that. If they have enough money on other players to cover it, well that's fine. But sometimes they can get trapped where, and then the guy, you know, winds up winning, and they're out a million. But like, there's all.
But I would say this though. I would say this. You're right about setting a number and why they do that. But you know, and they're not predicting schedules or predicting records. But if they set the number at 8.5 or 9, they know that probably 90% of the money is going to be on the under. So they know that they're not that good. They probably figure they're about a 6-win team, maybe a 7-win team. And then you look at the schedule. I mean, the schedule is brutal. In a normal year, that schedule is brutal if you had to go to Arizona and Cleveland in the first 2 weeks. But you're right. They're setting that number at 5.5 so they can get half the money up and half the money down. You're right.
Half the money, yeah, half the money. And of course, the line will change.
Yep.
Real quick, since we are talking NFL, I swear, Jason, I am looking at New England plus 165 not to make the playoffs. And I think that has some interest in it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure I'm going to pull the trigger on it, but I usually make one or two future bets in football a year. I'm looking at that one.
What's their number?
Because it's plus 165.
Not to make the playoffs, okay.
Not. You got to bet against them.
I don't know why it's that high. I wouldn't bet them to make the playoffs right now.
And only one team's coming out of there. It's going to be the winner of the division.
Yep.
And that very well could you basically are betting that they're not going to win that division.
Right.
But unless Belichick sees something in a guy who's thrown four passes.
Right. Exactly.
But Brady's come along every 20 years for a reason.
You're right. Hey, thanks for the call, man. Got to run. All right, we've got to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to be joined by a couple former Maryland lacrosse players, Brendan Hanley, Doug Poindexter. They were complete studs in the 80s, and this kind of got started with our interview with John Tillman a few weeks ago, JP, and I threw out some of these old names to Coach Tillman and told him I grew up watching these guys. And Tom Orstel, who's also a former player, reached out to them. It just kind of happened that way. That's the way we were connected.
It just mushroomed.
It just mushroomed that way. So when we come back, we'll finish the show talking a little Maryland lacks. We'll go down memory lane and get their thoughts on how lacrosse programs are going to be affected too in the spring. Already have been affected, but next spring because of the pandemic. It's Bish and JP Saturday morning with the Junks, 106.7 The Fan.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, welcome back to the show. It's JP and Bish, Junkies on a Saturday. Bickle and Chad Dukes coming up here in about 17 minutes. All right,
should mention before we get to our next guest that you can always use the rewind feature on Raider.com if you missed any part of the show. We talked a little NBA earlier in the show with Quentin Mayo from Wizards Outsiders. We had Tim Donnelly on, first time we had him on, who does a show in Virginia Beach.
Mm-hmm.
He was really good. Talked a little college football with him. And, of course, Mike Glennon earlier this hour.
Correct. All right, so we talk some lacrosse here because Eric's son, Stevie, goes to Marist and plays at Marist. And he's obviously been playing lacrosse competitively for the last few years. So Eric has really gotten into lacrosse. I was a huge lax man, especially a Terps lax man back in the 80s when my mother and her friend would take me to games. You know, when I was 14, 15, 16, 17 years old, I remember going up to Rutgers in the Final Four when the Terps were number one in the country in 1987. They beat Hopkins in the regular season, and they never used to beat Hopkins. Believe me, Hopkins was like the Duke of lacrosse, and it was tough to beat them. But they beat them in the regular season, but ultimately played them in the semis that year and lost to them 13-8. So joining us now, a couple guys from those teams, Brendan Hanley and Doug Poindexter. Fellas, can you hear me?
Sure can.
All right, there's Brendan.
I can hear you.
Dougie, what's up? Doug, I wanted to see your face, bro. I can't see you.
I don't know what's up with the video.
Somebody's
got the box.
Yeah, somebody's got some echo too. Like, we got to turn down your. You got to mute your mic on the Zoom.
All right. Let's see if that continues. Maybe Vic, our producer, can talk to you about that. Dougie, you all right?
Yep, I muted the mic on Zoom.
All right, there you go. Doug's just a black screen for us, but we can hear him.
Yep. All right, so like I mentioned, let's start with Brendan here. Now, Brendan lives down in Ocean City. He's got a fishing company. It's called Pure Lure Fishing, I believe.
That is correct.
And he's been doing all kinds of stuff. He worked for Under Armour. He worked for Billabong. But he was a complete stud on the lacrosse field. And when I bring up that 87 season, does that still hurt to think about that for you, Brent?
Absolutely. Yeah, it was such a great time for us, you know, playing at Maryland during that 80s run. But I didn't think it would still hurt, but I'd be lying to you if I said it didn't.
Yeah. Vic, why don't you talk to those guys off air? Because we're getting a little feedback on these guys.
The echo's coming from Brendan's got us on speaker, man. You got to use your phone.
Yeah, just put your phone up there. Up to your.
He's got a big beard, and I think that's, you know, he's probably prefers to do it the way that he was doing it. But if you use the phone, there you go.
Perfect.
Who knows?
All right.
By the way, how long have you been growing that beard, Brendan?
Since COVID started. No.
Yeah, right.
All right, Brendan, take your phone off a speaker and just talk into it.
Oh, wait. How about now?
Yeah, it's still getting it a little bit. Anyway, all right. So, all right, Dougie, let's go to you. When I talk about 87, you guys were number one in the country, one seed. You were undefeated. You beat Penn, I believe, in the quarters, and then you lose to Hopkins 13-8. You guys just didn't show up for whatever reason, even though I thought you were a better team. What are your memories from 87?
My memory from 87 was the locker room. You know, there was nothing like the locker room that we had, the group of guys that we had. You know, my locker room, next door neighbors were Mike Mosco and Jim Beardmore. I mean, just the guys in that room and how we stuck together after the whole bias thing was just, you know, we were the bright light on campus. You know, we didn't win that final game, but at the end of the day, you can pick up the phone and call any of those guys and have great conversation.
Right. And you guys are still tight.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But with that game in particular, I do remember my mother crying after that game. I mean, that really affected some people. Because we planned on driving up there to Rutgers, staying overnight, because you guys were going to play the championship game, I guess, on that Monday. And when you guys lost, I remember her crying in the car because we just drove back. We canceled the hotel room for the next night. We just drove back down 95, and I just remember her just bawling because of that loss.
Yeah, it was a tough one. I mean, you go all year undefeated, you're on a roll, and you know, just a whole quagmire of things that built up that I think created a situation that didn't enable us to get it done. And you know, it's sports, you know.
Yeah. Yep.
Any given Sunday at that point.
Brendan, I wanted to ask you.
Sure.
Your experiences with bias, because you guys were pretty close with. I would assume you're close with all of the athletes, especially the hoopsters. But bias, I loved bias. I idolized the guy. I was devastated when he died. But you would hang out with the guy all the time.
Yeah. When I transferred, you know, came into Maryland, I was pretty close with a couple of the guys that were the managers, and then became close with Keith Gatlin, and they wound up living right above us in Leonardtown. And, you know, I was a little different when I came on campus. I had hair down to the middle of my back, and I was kind of a surf guy. And Lenny would always comment, and he would say, "Hey, man," you know, he called me Brother B, and he'd say, "Yo, Brother B," he's like, "You're bumping. You look bumping."
Bumping. I remember we used to always use that word, bumping.
Bumping's a positive.
That's a good thing.
He was great, man. And, you know, those guys would all come support us at the games. And, you know, I wouldn't say we were, like, all best friends. But, like, they lacrosse guys are usually a fairly unique breed.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'd say we weren't big enough to play football, and we weren't smart enough at times to play baseball. So we played lacrosse. And,
right.
You know, but no diss on it. But they were just great, man. And so Lenny, he would come to the games and, you know, support us. And obviously we would go, you know, watch those guys play. And I'm not sure if you're aware of this, which I think you may be, but, you know, Tom Worstell, who
right.
his points alluded to, you know, I would say he's hands down one of the best athletes I've ever even seen. You know, the guy was a walk-on on the basketball team and made the team,
right,
as well as he was a three-time first small American in lacrosse. And then most people don't know, but Tom was also an All-American quarterback. Like, he was just an absolute stud. Some of the other guys that, you know, I'd like to just throw out is, like, the attack line that we had with Kirk Thurston and Mike Mosco. Point said that was his locker mate. Like, Mosco and I have known each other since we were in, like, third grade.
Right.
And our brothers played together, and then he was at Penn State and then came down and transferred into Maryland. And he was just an absolute dominator on the field. So our attack line in 87, we were, I think, in the top three highest scoring attacks, like, ever.
Oh, yeah. And, you guys, you would roll teams. You would.
Yeah, we would really put it together. And the midfield line with the Willard brothers and Guy Riccardi, our defense with Brian Jackson and Dan Coughlin and Jack Merrill, and then Poynes playing a long pole. It was just ridiculous. And then having Jimmy Beardmore in the goal was incredible.
He was a stud.
We were stacked. And it takes me to when you said your mom cried, like, we couldn't get over it. I mean, it was a tough one. And, as Doug said, it's sports, but
it
man,
is, right.
we were set up to kind of take it all, and we had a great regular season, and just, you know, we couldn't close it.
I wanted to mention that Doug, we only got a few minutes here, but Doug's daughter, I believe her name is Abby. Is it Abby, Doug?
Yeah, Abigail.
Abigail, she plays at High Point down in North Carolina. Now, she's a freshman. Unfortunately, she didn't play this year because of the pandemic. But so Doug has kind of coached her and has been coaching. And I was just looking at kind of the power shift in men's lacrosse. And you guys can talk about this. We'll start with Doug. But Syracuse dominated in the 90s and then early 2000s. Hopkins dominated in the late 70s to 80s. But Hopkins hasn't won a national championship in 13 years. Syracuse hasn't won one in 11 years. It's like the power shift is going towards, you know, like Duke and Carolina. Princeton was really good for a while. Denver won one. Loyola, Yale. You're really seeing it. You're not seeing the dominant franchises anymore, are you?
No, you're not, because the expansion of the sport is so great now, and it starts at such a young age, and, you know, the feeding, you know, you talk about how the pandemic can affect lacrosse. You know, don't think about just the universities. Think about the feeding system that feeds the men's and the women's programs at the youth level, that, you know, the club teams that are across the country, all the tournaments that are not going to happen or may happen.
Right.
That's going to, you know, it's a huge machine, and it's going to come to a grinding slowdown. So how does that affect the coaches recruiting into, you know, the D1, D2, D3 programs? How does it affect that? You know, that you look at it from a financial, the scholarships, how does all that tweak out? It's going to be interesting to see how it pans out the next few years, really.
Hey, Brendan or Doug, out of all the guys that you guys were mentioning that were at the University of Maryland, if you took a football player or a basketball player, who would have been the best lacrosse guy? Because I always thought this of, like, athletes that I grew up with. Imagine if Allen Iverson played lacrosse.
Yeah.
If Allen Iverson had grown up and he was dedicated to lacrosse as a young kid, it'd have been unbelievable.
Yeah. I would say from a basketball player, like Adrian Branch.
Yeah.
That dude was so smooth and quick and elusive. And I think if you put a stick in his hand, he probably could have done anything he wanted.
Dougie?
Yeah, I think that, like, you know, you look at a guy like Jim Brown, right? I mean,
right.
Back then, that was a different game. I mean, that was – you were fist pounding, punching, grinding, running up down the field, running people over. A little different now.
Mm-hmm.
I think a hoops player, you know, anytime I step on the court, like I still do today, you can tell right away if someone knows how to play basketball defense because their feet work.
Right. All right.
You know,
I was going to say I always thought you guys were unbelievable athletes. You really were. And I enjoyed watching you. And since you guys are kind of in the same area, so Brendan's in OC and Dougie's in Annapolis, and we'll get Worstel from up here in Ashburn. I want to get down and hang out, and I want Brendan to buy us all dinner. We'll go to Fausto's, and then we'll sit down. I guess he's got a rooftop on his place, and we'll just have beers. I really, because we'll just talk for hours about the old days. But I really do appreciate the time, fellas. Brendan and Doug.
For sure.
Absolutely. Thanks. Appreciate it.
If I can, real quick, man, I just want to give a shout out to Coach Tillman and you know, the program where he's been able to take it with the teams over the last few years, it's just incredible. And for us guys that didn't get it done, to see that he came in and really put together a team, you know, that just, you know, brought it home. And it was really special when they won it, because, you know, we all felt a piece of that. And he's right. just an outstanding coach, and hats off to him.
100%. Yep. He's a good dude and a good friend of the show. Hey, fellas, appreciate the time. Have a great weekend down there, all right?
All right. Thank you, guys.
Be the best.
All right, man.
So those are two of your heroes when you were younger.
They were, man. Those guys, and they're a little older than me and us. They're probably 53, 54, maybe 53.
Well, but, I mean, they're talking about 87. We started college in 88. Graduated high school in 88, but started college in 88. One of the guys I went to Roosevelt with ended up playing goalie. I think he was a backup, maybe even third string for the lacrosse team, but he played goalie at Maryland.
Right. Yeah, they were fun to watch, man. Now, the game has changed. Everything has changed. But for those guys in the mid-80s were some of the best athletes, and that team in particular, 87, was one of the best teams they've ever had. But like Dougie said, man, that's sports, and anything can happen in a one-off.
And if you're a lacrosse fan, should mention, check out EB's podcast, Time and Room. We've got links up on our Junkies Facebook page, facebook.com/thejunks. Follow him at EB Junkies. He's coming up next with Chad Dukes. Vic, thank you very much.
Good job
as always on a Saturday. If you missed any part of the show, hit the rewind feature on the radio.com app. We had Quentin Mayo to talk some NBA. Tim Donnelly from Virginia Beach, radio host down there, was great. We talked a little college football. We talked a little Hokies with him. Mike Glennon, who's now a QB for the Jags. And we had the two stud Terp lacrosse players. Bish, enjoy your two-day weekend, because we're not back live until Tuesday on the Junkies.
Yep.
For Bish, I'm JP. Chad Dukes and EB up next this Saturday morning on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.